Okay, good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for coming. First show is my father, my father-in-law, my mother-in-law. And thank you to the Talmidim for coming out, especially the Talmidim from Rabbi Adler's year. I recognize it's the middle of morning Seder. Don't worry, we're going to learn. You can make a Berachas HaTorah on this year. It's gonna we're going to really accomplish something, Be'ezras Hashem. I want to start by reflecting on a point that Rav Tversky made about 2 weeks ago at the commemoration of Rav Soloveitchik's 30th yard site. He noted that the Rambam, when discussing the transmission of the Torah, makes a big deal about the concept of being mechadish, of uncovering new layers in the Torah, trying to understand additional levels of interpretation in the Torah. And Rav Tversky noted that if we truly believe that the Torah is timeless, the Torah is eternal, and it is equally relevant in every time and every generation, that necessitates that the Torah has what to say for every new situation that arises. He made a distinction between a chiddush and a shinoi, a very beautiful kedarko b'kodesh, cutting straight to the point. A chiddush is uncovering the authentic Torah message about a new situation. That's a chiddush. What does the Torah say, an authentic Torah message about a situation that is only now arising? A shinoi is chas v'shalom somebody who wants the Torah to change because of a new situation which has now arisen. So I think what we're trying to accomplish this morning is we're trying to show the chiddush of the Torah. We're trying to show that every single scenario that we will face in life, the Torah has what to say about it. I'm actually happy that we got assigned the Rav Adler guys, because Rav Adler and his shir, he's known, everything has to be learned b'iyun. Every line, Rav Adler shir goes very slow, right? Very slow shir. We learn every line b'iyun. And the truth is, that's the best way to learn. It's not only the best way to learn, it's the best way to live. Every situation that comes up in life, you could live it b'iyun. The Torah has what to say about it. And that's what I think we're trying to accomplish this morning. What I wanted to speak about, and we have a lot of fun things to say, so we're going to get moving. What I wanted to speak about this morning is a mitzvah that I've always found to be a striking mitzvah, the mitzvah of tefillin. Now you see, we have certain mitzvahs that we fulfill through maybe saying something, other mitzvahs that we fulfill through hearing something, perhaps through doing something, in action, a maisa mitzvah. But even the imagery of a Jew wearing tefillin, there's something startling about it. We literally take a mitzvah and tie it down to ourselves. Right when we take off our tefillin, we see we still have some marks on our body from the mitzvah. It's almost like etching a mitzvah onto our body. The other mitzvah that I would think is analogous to such a mitzvah would be the mitzvah milah. In a more intense way, a mitzvah milah is a physical marker in our body. And the mitzvah of tefillin is something very, very close, a very close second place. Tying down a mitzvah to our body, it is no coincidence that these two mitzvahs both have the status of an os, a sign. The Nosei Kehillah and Shulchan Aruch bring down, you may have seen this if you've been to a bris, that the halacha is one is supposed to keep their tefillin on for a bris, to have two osos come together in real time. It's a very, very poignant vision, something very beautiful about a Jew tying down a mitzvah to himself. And I think that it's exactly this concept which is responsible for what we find reflected in halacha, which is a disproportionate focus on the role of kavan. Now, we know every mitzvah, being a thoughtful Jew, requires that we think about the actions that we're doing. We don't just go through the mitzvahs by rote. We give them the proper reflection. But usually, the concept of kavana is something that is above and beyond the base kiyum, the fulfillment of the mitzvah. I should hear the shofar, and it is better if while hearing the shofar, I have in mind that we are coronating HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have in mind that they're supposed to sound like tears. That is an additional kiyum of the mitzvah, but it's additional. There are very few mitzvahs where the kavana becomes part and parcel of the way you fulfill the mitzvah. I want to start, we're going to go through almost all the sources outside. Almost everything will be outside. Where this really comes to the forefront is a comment of the Tur in Hilchos Sukkah. The Tur notes in Hilchos Sukkah, he says there is a mitzvah to sit in the sukkah for 7 days. And then he goes on a long tangent that the Torah said this mitzvah is related to Yetzias Mitzrayim and so are many other mitzvahs. Because Yetzias Mitzrayim is something that we saw with our own eyes and we heard with our own ears. And we know with certainty that Hashem created tremendous miracles. And he goes on a whole long explanation of the value of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the Bach, one of the preeminent commentators on the Torah, notes that this is very strange for the Torah to do. The Torah is a sefer either of halacha or minhagim. It's not a sefer of theology. It's not the sefer achinuch who gives you the mesharshei ha-mitzvah, the reasonings behind every mitzvah. It is a strict sefer of halacha and minhagim. Why is the Torah going on such a long, we'll call it tangent, to describe the value of Yetzias Mitzrayim and how that relates to mitzvah sukkah? And the Bach comes up with a tremendous chiddush b'das ha-Torah. The Bach says that the Torah holds that there are certain mitzvahs, a small group of mitzvahs, where the kavana, where understanding the theology, maybe the philosophy behind the mitzvah, is not an additional part of the mitzvah. It's not something external to the mitzvah. It's something intrinsic to the kiyama mitzvah. And says the Bach, if you'll notice, every time throughout the Sefer Torah that he goes on one of these theological tangents, it is in regard to a mitzvah that the Torah itself uses a very particular word, liman. What does the word liman mean? In order so that, right? The Torah will describe a mitzvah, maybe the mitzvah sukkah. Basukos teshu shivas yam. Liman yedu doroseichem kivasukoso shafti. The Torah does not just describe that there is a mitzvah to sit in the sukkah. The Torah itself says that when you are sitting in that sukkah, it is in order to get to another place. Sitting in the sukkah alone is not the ends, it's the means. And then the Torah, and then the Bach says something which is very relevant for us. V'chein behilchos tefillin. He says, so too in Hilchos Tefillin, the Torah goes on another one of these long tangents describing the value of Yetzias Mitzrayim and how that relates to Tefillin. And the Bach writes, because again, the Torah says in the context of Tefillin, V'ya lecha le'os ha'yodcha u'lezikaron b'ininecha liman tiyataras Hashem b'ficha. That word liman comes up by mitzvah Tefillin as well. We don't just put on the Tefillin and be yotzei. We put on the tefillin to get us to a different mental place. Something else that's supposed to be running through our minds. And that's what I want to discuss today. Just for full disclosure, the Mishnah Berurah writes that we don't pass like this, Bach. And if somebody put on their tefillin without having in mind the extra level of kavana, they're still yotzei 100%. But he says, to be choshesh for the Bach, and even without being choshesh for the Bach, we can all agree that every mitzvah that we do, it's certainly a good idea to understand the philosophical underpinnings. We'll call them the Mesharshei HaMitzvah, the words of the Sefer Achinuch. So what exactly is it that one is supposed to have in mind? So in source number 4 here, sorry, I numbered some, didn't number the others, I apologize, I got a little confused. In source number 4, the Shulchan Aruch himself, this is Halachan Shulchan Aruch. This is not a Sefer of theology, this is the Shulchan Aruch himself, describes the kavanos that one must have when putting on their tefillin. And it's basically a three-pronged process. Says the Shulchan Aruch, we put on arba parashios elu. We put on the four parashios inside of our tefillin, and in these four parashios, while they have differences, and that's very different shir, what exactly the differences are between the parashios, they all have a commonality. Yesh bem yichud shemo, they describe Hashem's oneness, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, v'yitzias Mitzrayim, and they all describe the miracles of the Exodus of Egypt. Why? Kidei shenizkor nisim v'neflau sha'aseimam. That's the word kidei. Very similar to the word liman. The reason why we put on these four parashas is to get us to a place where we contemplate, maybe perhaps even meditate, on the tremendous miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us, which only further helps us internalize. Sheheim morim al yichudo v'asher lo hakoach v'amamshal v'alyon v'tachtonim. That further help us appreciate Hashem's complete dominance over the world, and that He is the Kol Yachol, the Omnipotent One who is capable of doing anything at all times. This is a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. One puts on their tefillin, and put on your tefillin. B, to think, to contemplate, to meditate on the mitzvah, on that which is written inside the tefillin, to meditate on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's truth, His oneness, and His ability to do anything at any time. But then there's a third stage. And this is the third stage, what we're going to be speaking about more. So that's, again, so far we've all been in the realm of thought. What's the action? How is that supposed to manifest itself in our lives? V'yishabed l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that should allow us to either become subservient, to become wholly dedicated, wholly with a W, to become wholly dedicated to the Ribono Shel Olam. We're trying to mishabed our neshama. which is in our head. By the way, that's a big line right there. Our neshama is in our head. The Derech Hashem in the Ramchal, he goes, the whole arichas, our neshama and our moach, our brain, our intellect, our tzelem elokim, these are all the ability to really process, to become a thinking human being. That is your neshama. V'gam halev, and also our heart. Anybody know why the tefillin shel yad would be related to the lev? Don't we put it on our arm? Right. The halacha is, halacha l'maisa, you're supposed to put it on your arm, tilting towards your heart. V'samtem es tevara ila al nevadcha. The Gemara learns that the sima, the placement of the tefillin, is supposed to be it's supposed to be on your forearm, tilted towards your heart. Shehu ikr hatavos amachshavos. This is the action. The action is to become dedicated, both in mind and in body. So what we're going to discuss in our half hour that we have, beautiful, it's exactly the time that we need, is what does it mean to become dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our mind and in our body? Halacha l'maisa. What does it actually require of us? And what role do tefillin play as the vehicle to get us there? Good so far? So I just wanted to point out before we go on that the Shulchan Aruch describing what we called part C of the process. Again, putting on the tefillin, meditating what the tefillin are about, and then the actual action of becoming mishubo to Hashem, subservient, dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I think he was tipped off from the Torah itself. The Torah itself, in the beginning of the book of Exodus, in Parashat Shemos, still at the story of the burning bush, before Moshe ever even goes to Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe the following fact. Vayomer ki yayet imach, I will be with you the entire time. Vize lecha ha'os, which I think is an important word. This will be the sign for you. Ki anochi shalachticha, behutziacha asal mi Mitzrayim, ta'avdun asadokim al harazah. The entire goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim is to get to what point in the Jewish world of being meshabed ourselves. Of Ta'avdun HaSalukim B'Harazah. The whole process of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which have not yet started, is to get to the same stage that we're saying is the final stage of donning our tefillin. After we were going to experience Yetzias Mitzrayim, after we were going to become convinced of Hashem's omnipotence, the ultimate goal is to be meshabed ourselves to the Ribono Shalom. So now, how do tefillin accomplish that? And what I want to discuss is a fascinating comment of the Ramban, which has been borne out to be totally, totally on point by modern science. Really incredible. There are four times in the Torah that we are commanded on mitzvah tefillin. I'll make sure it's actually recording. Sorry. There are four times in the Torah that we are commanded on mitzvah tefillin. Three of those four times, the Torah uses a particular adjective to describe our tefillin shel rosh. Ukshartam osa leolecha v'hayu letotafos. The word totafos is a hard word to translate. The Gemara itself is not sure what language it is, which is an unbelievable thing. Isn't the whole Torah written in Hebrew? The Gemara says maybe tat and pat are from different African languages. It's a fascinating concept. The Gemara itself is not sure what the word means. In the Rishonim, there are different explanations. But there's one time that the Torah uses a different word to describe the tefillin shel rosh. And that is at the end of Parshas Bo. The Torah says, V'hayodacha l'os al yodacha ulizikaron bein einacha. It shall be for you a sign on your hand and a memorial or a reminder between your eyes. And the Ramban has an unbelievable insight, an unbelievable read of this pasuk. Whereas the simple explanation would say that lezikaron bein einacha, the word, again, this is a little bit of a fine point, but it's easily understood. The simple read of the pasuk is that the word lezikaron is describing the function of the tefillin. What are tefillin? They are a zikaron. They are meant to remind you of something else. The Ramban learns the word lezikaron differently, which is what we're going to be discussing. The omer lezikaron bein einacha. Sheyunchu, that they should be worn, they should be placed, b'makom hazikaron, on the place on one's body which is responsible for memory. Everybody see what the Ramban just did? The word lezikaron, the simple, straightforward reading, is that zikaron is a description of the function of the tefillin. What are tefillin? Tefillin are a zikaron. They are supposed to remind us of something else. Says the Ramban, no. The word zikaron is a description of the placement of the tefillin. Where are the tefillin meant to be placed? B'makom hazikaron. It's not describing the function of the tefillin to remind you of something. It's describing where the tefillin are meant to be worn. The tefillin are meant to be worn on the makom hazikaron, on the place of your body which is responsible for human memory. Bein ha'enayim, which is parallel to between your eyes, shehu reishis hamalach, which is the front of your brain. Any psychology majors here? What's the front of the brain called? Front of the brain is called the prefrontal cortex. The front of the brain is called the prefrontal cortex, which is responsible for many aspects of memory. So says the Ramban, the phrase lezikaron beinecho are three words describing the placement of the tefillin. On the place of memory, which corresponds to between one's eyes. Sheyunchu b'makom hazikaron bein ha'inayim, which is also the beginning of one's brain. V'hu tchilas hazikaron, which is also the first part of the memory process, of memories being processed in the brain. What happens there? Mamad hatsuros acharei hipardon milifon. It is the part of the brain responsible for the ability to recall images or events even when they are not in front of you. There are different parts of the brain that are responsible for memory recall of different types of memories. If I ask you to think of what something sounds like, what does your alarm sound like in the morning? That is a different part of the brain than if I ask you to try to think of what your pillow feels like when you put your head down on it, or if I ask you to think up in your mind's eye, what does your house look like at home, or what does your makom in the base medrash look like? Everybody here is capable of closing their eyes and envisioning their house in their mind's eye. Says the Ramban, that is the place that we put our tefillin. The place that is responsible for being able to recall visual memory. Visual memory. That's where the tefillin go. V'heim makifim es kol harosh. And then from there, we have ritzuot, straps, which go all around our head. The hakesher, and then the knot of the tefillin, shehu al acharis hamoch, which is on the back of the brain, hameshamer lezechira, which is responsible for storing memory. So let's just review what the Ramban just said. The Ramban just said that the mitzvah of tefillin is lezikaron ben enecha, to place the bias of the tefillin with the parashios. The parashios which are supposed to elicit within us deep belief in the oneness of Hashem, in the kol yachol, in Hashem's ultimate ability and dominance over the world, and you place that in the makom of zikaron, where memory first enters the brain. Not any place of memory, but the place of memory that's responsible for recalling visual images that you are not currently witnessing. Something really, really, really cool about that. Almost as if to say, you're supposed to be able to envision Yetzias Mitzrayim in your mind's eye. Even though you weren't there, it's like you were there. That is what the mitzvah of tefillin is meant to imprint upon our brains. And then from there, it goes, the straps go through our head. I asked my wife, I'm not going to pretend like I really know psychology, but there is some part in the middle of your brain called the hippocampus, which is responsible for interpreting memories. And then it goes to the back of your mind where there's a kesher, which I think is also very symbolic, something that gets locked in, which is the place that is responsible for being mishamer v'zechira. This memory that we are kind of creating almost like we were there, by placing those events and those core beliefs on our brains, are supposed to then get passed through our entire head and locked in, stored in our long-term memory for recall whenever we need. I just wanted to play for 1 second the way that memory works. Oh. Literally a 20-second clip. It is so cool because... Oh, 1 second. How do I do the sound? Anybody know? 1 second. Let's just see if the sound works.
1 second. Sorry. How would I do this?
It's muted on the computer.
It's muted on the computer. So how do...
If you escape and...
Okay, great. Oh, thank you. Perfect. Perfect. It's just a 30-second video.
Now, I'm sure you've noticed many different areas of the brain are involved in memory. When it comes to long-term memory, explicit and implicit memories are stored in different areas. Explicit memories are taken in from the prefrontal cortex and processed in the hippocampus. Then they're returned to the area where the sensory information was originally processed. So, for example, your explicit visual memory would be stored in the occipital lobe, whereas for...
That's all I wanted to show. I just thought that was amazing. That's exactly how memory works, the way the Ramban describes it. The memory comes in through the prefrontal cortex. It then gets processed through the middle of the brain, ultimately becoming stored in the end, in the back of the brain. And that's really what the mitzvah of tefillin is supposed to be. These core beliefs that we live with are not simply something that we're supposed to have in our mind, something that was hearsay, something that I heard from somebody else, but we're supposed to be able to feel like we were there, present, and it's available for recall whenever we need. I can witness Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's funny, I tell my son, I have a 4-year-old son, just turned 4 today, his birthday, and we speak a lot about Yetzias Mitzrayim. He loves the Makos. He feels like he's there. He mamish feels like, I tell him about Makos Kinim, he starts scratching his legs. He really feels like he's there. That's how we're supposed to feel. We're supposed to feel like we were there, we were present, and I think that now we can understand a very difficult halacha. The Mishnah tells us in the 10th chapter of Maseches Pesachim that the whole Dor V'Dor Chayiv Odom Lirus Es Atzmo Ki'ilu Hu Yotzal Mimitzrayim. There is an obligation upon each and every person to feel as if they are the ones who left Egypt. This is a very, very different quality of a mitzvah than we find anywhere else. Even another mitzvah where we act it out, the mitzvah of Sukkah, where we literally go into Sukkos and sit down. There is no obligation to feel that this is the sukkah that we sat in Mitzrayim. That's not the pshat. The pshat is we're going to sit in a sukkah to commemorate that many, many generations ago when our forefathers left Mitzrayim, they sat in sukkos. The mitzvah of feeling like you left Mitzrayim is not something I'm not supposed to feel like now I'm commemorating that my great-great-grandfather left Mitzrayim. No, I'm leaving Mitzrayim. How do we have the audacity? How is it possible for someone to be commanded to feel like they were there? The answer is exactly what we've been describing. We were there. That is the goal of the mitzvah of tefillin. To put those parashiyos on our memory, to be able to recall them as if they happened to us, and available for recall whenever necessary. That is the first pshat in the Ramban. And I thought perhaps we could explain something else very fascinating, because the Gemara... When the Gemara is trying to figure out where the makom of the tefillin shel rosh is, the Gemara does not say this idea of the Ramban, that is in the makom azikar. The Gemara has a different way of describing the proper placement of tefillin. Bein einecha zu karkod, on one skull. Hecha, where on one skull? Omri deber avyanai makom shem mocho shel tino grofis. Dr. Friedman can help us out over here, but makom shem mocho shel tino grofis, there on the front of a baby's head, there's something called a fontanelle, which is a soft spot. The Gemara describes that is the... This is a bird's eye view of a baby's head. That is the proper place for hanochas tefillin. So now we have two descriptions for the place of hanochas tefillin, Rosh Hashanah shorts. Now we have two descriptions for the proper place of hanochas tefillin. One is in the place of memory, and another is in the place of a fontanelle. So I thought perhaps these two ideas work together very nicely. On the one hand, as we've already seen the Ramban describe, the makom of tefillin is a makom of our memory. It's supposed to be part and parcel of our religious consciousness, something that is part of who we are. So I thought perhaps we can explain that that is the imagery of the Gemara. The imagery of the Gemara is the exact same idea that the Ramban is saying. You put your tefillin, the makom shel tino grofes, a part of the body which has not been fully developed. A part of the body that the brain, literally the synapses in the brain, there is space in the brain which is not yet fully formed. And we want to seep into the very foundation, the fibers of what it means to be a Jew, are these core beliefs, these core tenets, Yichud Hashem, and that Hashem is Kol Yachol. These ideas that we find in the tefillin are supposed to be as if we still have that soft spot, as if our brains are not fully developed, and what we want to become part of the very formation of our mind are these core values. So that is the Ramban's first explanation. Now for the second explanation of the Ramban, let's continue. Go back up to the Ramban. Now the Ramban gives another interpretation. V'lashon ben einacha. His first idea is that we should read it kipshuta. Why does the Torah say to place the tefillin ben ha'inayim? Sheyu be'emsa harosh lo mitzadecha. They should be as much in the middle of one's head as possible, not tilted towards any side. Let's continue. I'm going to focus more on the next line. Oh, another interpretation of what ben ha'inayim means is shesham shar shei ha'inayim. It is in that spot that the root of the eye exists. Umisham yihya ha'reus. And from there, vision originates. So I have the schus to work in Congregation Beth Aaron. So I called Dr. Alden Leifer. I don't know if anybody knows Dr. Alden Leifer. He's an ophthalmologist. And I asked him, what does the Ramban mean? And he explained to me the following unbelievable idea. He explained to me the science, and I think it comes out an unbelievable idea. This is the way that our eyes work. We have a right eye and a left eye. Both of them, behind them, have an optic nerve, which means, right here, called the optic chiasm. Meaning, there's only two places, as Dr. Leifer explained to me, that if somebody gets injured, their vision is completely gone in both eyes. If somebody, chas v'shalom, has a severance of the optic chiasm, where the two optic nerves meet, they will entirely lose their vision. Or, on the back, there's something called the occipital lobe, where also, in the back of one's head, right here, if somebody, Rahman al-San, let's say, was in a car crash or something and had a tremendous force hit them in the back of the head, they will entirely lose their vision. So what the Rabban is saying is that the Lashon Bein Ha'inayim is actually exactly where we put the tefillin. The tefillin are placed on the exact makom where one's Einayim meet, between our two Einayim. Right here, which is consistent with where the Mofal Shel Tinuk growth is. This is exactly where the anterior fontanelle is. And in the back by the occipital lobe, let me just make sure I'm pronouncing that correctly, by the occipital lobe, which is another place where the two optic tracts meet and are responsible for one's vision. So I think, again, now we have two mahalchim in the Ramban. So let's just see how that reads in the Ramban. So again, the Ramban writes that, again, what's the explanation of Bein Ha'inayim? How is Bein Ha'inayim a good description of where the tefillin are meant to go? Shom shar shei ha'inayim umishom yihye ha'ru'us. That's where our vision comes from. We place our tefillin on the part of our brain, the part of our mind, that is responsible for literally how we see. But not on our eyes, not the way that we see, you know, lemaisa, but on the shra shei ha'inayim, on the root of our vision. So I think if we put these two Perushim of the Ramban together, we have a very beautiful understanding of the role of tefillin. On the one hand, the role of tefillin are to be put on the makom hazikaron, says the Ramban, on the place of our memory, passing through the Ritzuros, as the Ramban gave us such clear imagery, being tied into the Acharis Hamach, stored there for long-term memory, and we saw that that's exactly how science says that it works. Not that we needed the chizik, but I always at least personally find it very inspiring. And we're supposed to have these ideas, these core tenets, seared into our memory. But there's another stage. It's not enough to keep it in the level of theoretical. It has to affect our vision. To have those core beliefs, something that remain in one's theoretical understanding of how the world works, is one level. But then, you also have to have your tefillin bein ha'inayim, your personal ha'inayim, on your shra shei ha'inayim, on the root of how vision happens in your body, to see the entire world differently. If after going through a Pesach, we don't see things differently, if after experiencing a mitzvah's tefillin, our vision does not look different, we don't see the Ribono Shel Olam in front of our very eyes, then there's something lacking in our mitzvah's tefillin. So I think these two perushim, the Lashon of Zikar and the Lashon of Bein Einecha, come together to give us a very beautiful message of the way that the mitzvah of tefillin is really meant to transform us. So just to continue in the Ramban then goes on to say, this part we're going to read mainly outside, that this concept of Hashem coming out and performing open miracles is not something that is for every generation, which is why we have to be so careful to be Talmud, to consistently and constantly have a Zikaron. Here he means Zikaron in the Lashon of Rada. Thank you, everybody, for coming. Thank you, everyone. Thank you so much. Ve'us la'asher ro'u enenu. We need to have a constant reminder for that which our very eyes saw. And now I think we can understand, what does it mean? What does it mean that it was asher ro'u enenu? What does it mean that our eyes saw that? Right? For the Ramban, it works beautifully. It was literally our eyes. It was literally our eyes that were supposed to have seen it. And then the Ramban goes on to say, we'll skip a few sources to make sure that we get to the end. The Ramban goes on to say, how is this supposed to affect us halacha l'maisa? In our lives, how is this supposed to affect us? And this is a very famous paragraph in the Ramban. A very important paragraph in the Ramban. The Ramban says, "U'min anisim ha'gedolam ha'mefursamim." When we internalize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's power to perform open miracles, Adamoda benisim hanistar. A man starts to appreciate, to recognize, and to be thankful for the miracles that accompany him every single day. What we call typically nature. And then the Ramban says a line, which to me is a startling line. Shehem yisod ha-Torah kula. You have to be the Ramban to say one thing is the yisod ha-Torah kula. The foundation of all of Torah is to internalize this fact. She'in la'adam chelek b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu. We have no share in Hashem's Torah. Ad she'yamin she'kol divareinu u'mekreinu. Until we believe that everything that happens in the world, kulam nisim. It is all miraculous. Ein b'hem teva u'minhago shel olam. There is no such thing as nature, and there is no such thing as this is the way that the world works. Now, we don't mean to say that we're expecting the sun to not come up tomorrow. What we mean to say is that that too is equally miraculous. Take our turn. That too is equally miraculous to Kriyas Yamsuf. It's the same Ribono Shalom who's willing it the exact same way. And I was thinking that perhaps with this line of the Ramban, we can answer an age-old question. Many ask, why is it that the Torah does not explicitly make a connection between Chag HaShavuos and Yom Matan Torah? If you read all the psukim in the Torah about Shavuos, you will learn a lot about agriculture and being appreciative for agriculture and Bikurim. But nowhere does the Torah refer to Chag HaShavuos as the day of Matan Torah. So I was thinking perhaps for the Ramban we can answer that question simply. That is Matan Torah. Matan Torah is Bikurim. Matan Torah is taking the first fruits and saying, this was not Teva. This was the Ribono Shel Olam. That's the Yisod HaTorah Kula. Ein la'adam chelek b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu. Isn't that what we want on Shavuos? Aren't we looking for a chelek b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu on Shavuos? Aren't we looking to find v'sein chalkeinu b'sar asecha? Says the Ramban, you want to find v'sein chalkeinu b'sar asecha? You have to believe that every single thing comes from the Ribono Shel Olam. Which is exactly what the Mitzvah of Bikurim is all about. And then the Ramban says, okay, we've explained the role of tefillin. We've explained what tefillin are meant to accomplish for Klal Yisrael, but there's another issue that we still have to deal with. Recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not only a Jewish value. We believe that the world needs to come to a place of Yakiru V'yedu Kol Yoshvei Seva. All the inhabitants of planet Earth need to recognize the Ribono Shel. What's their tefillin? We have the special bracha of tefillin. So says the Ramban something amazing. V'yisparsimu hanisim hanisarim be'inyan harabim. How is the world at large supposed to come to this place of appreciating the hidden miracles? Kasher yavo bi'odei ha-Torah, when it will come upon those who keep Hashem's Torah, be'inyan habrachos v'haklalos. Says the Ramban, Hashem's system for spreading His power to the whole world is by using Klal Yisrael. He selected one group to be the Yodei HaTorah, those who have the Torah, and that group is under no sense of nature. In Mazal Yisrael, we're either all the way on the top, or we're all the way on the bottom. And when the world will see this, when the world will see just how unnatural our existence is, they will be awakened to realize that all of existence is unnatural. Hashem is demonstrating that through the Jewish people, but it's equally true for the entire world. And this reminded me of an unbelievable story in the Gemara. We're not going to read it inside, but I include it on the source sheet here. I just included here that that Klal Yisrael, I mean, these are famous statistics, but in the year 2022, there was 15 resolutions against Israel and 13 against the rest of the world. Right, from the year 2006 to 2022, there were 99 resolutions against Israel and 41 against Syria. That number is amazing. There are, just for those who don't know, in Syria, there have been over 600,000 people killed in a civil war with the use of chemical weapons against their own people. Just to realize what kind of country we're talking about, not exactly a paradise. And there have been 99 resolutions against Israel and 41 against Syria. And we like to complain about this. You know, everyone's out to get us, but we shouldn't complain about it. This is the role of Klal Yisrael. The role of Klal Yisrael is to have a disproportionate attention drawn to us and to use it to inspire the world. To use it to inspire the world that there is a God, that there's a loving God, and that He cares about us. And this reminded me of a Gemara that I'll just say it outside. It was right after the time of the Chorban. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was walking through the streets and he saw a young lady going through, excuse me, the dung of animals, looking for undigested pieces of wheat. And she said to him, Rabbi Parnaseni, please, do you have anything to give me parnasa, to give me something to eat? And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to her, who are you? And she said, I'm the daughter of Nagdimon ben Gurion. Nagdimon ben Gurion was the richest Jew before the Churban HaBayis, and her ksuba was like tens of thousands of golden coins. She was the wealthiest girl in the world, mamish, in the Jewish world for sure. And when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai saw how a wealthy Jew of that magnitude has now come down to searching through the undigested dung of the Arab camels, looking for wheat, he had the following reaction. Bacha Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai v'omer. He cried and he said, listen to what he said. Ashreichem Yisrael. I can't believe that crying. Bizman she'osin yisrael shalmakum. When you're doing the right thing, ein kol uma v'lashon shalatas ben. You're untouchable. U'bizman she'ein osin yisrael shalmakum, mosrim biyad uma shvela. You can be in the hands of a lowly nation. V'lo biyad uma shvela. Not even the hands of a lowly nation. Biyad behemtam shel uma shvela. And what is always so remarkable to me about this line is that it starts with Ashreichem Yisrael. Both aspects are Ashreichem Yisrael. Ashreichem Yisrael. That a Kadosh Baruch who's always looking at us and we are not meant to be dealt with in any sort of natural way. Nothing. Our role is to be unnatural and to use that for the good and to show the entire world what it means to believe in God. So I was thinking, just as an analogy, the role that tefillin play for Klal Yisrael is the role that Klal Yisrael play for the world. We are the world's tefillin. We are the tefillin of the entire world. The same way that our tefillin are meant to help us understand that the Ribono Shel Olam exists and that He's real and that it means something, that is what it means to be a Jew. And then the Ramban concludes with when this happens. So he says there's two psukim that he uses as a proof text. We're going to stop in like 7 minutes. One pasuk is a pasuk in Parashat Nitzavim, the Amru. The whole world will say it's a pasuk in the Torah, right? The Amru Kol Agayim Al Ma Asa Hashem Kacha La'aretz Azos. They're going to see Eretz Yisrael utterly destroyed and Klal Yisrael exiled in a very intense way, and they're going to say Al Ma Asa Hashem Kacha La'aretz Azos. What could possibly be the reason for such destruction? The Amru, and the conclusion that the Goyim will come to, not the Jews. The conclusion that Goyim will come to is Al Asher Azvu Esbris Hashem Elokeinu Osam. It must be because they have forsaken the Torah. That's the only explanation. That's a Kiddush Hashem. That's Ashreichem Yisrael. Ashreichem Yisrael, that at least we get to be the people who are Hashem's ambassadors to the world. But what about when we're doing well? The Omer Bikim, and with this we'll conclude one idea on this pasuk. When we're doing well and the nations of the world see our success and it accomplishes that same Kiddush Hashem, another pasuk in the Torah, V'ro'u Kol Amei Aretz. Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha. All the nations of the world will see that the name of God is called upon us, that we are God's ambassadors. There's no other explanation for the success of the Jewish people than this pasuk. Right? And I think that, you know, especially this past week, commemorating Yom HaAtzmaut, I think it's a beautiful time to reflect on this pasuk. V'ra'u kol amei aretz, kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha. Anybody happen to know the drasha that the Gemara has on this pasuk? V'ro kol amei aretz kishem Hashem nikra alecha. So I'll tell you. This will be our last source. The Gemara says that what's this pasuk referring to? Gemara says like this right here, this source. Gemara in Maseches Menachos. V'ra'u kol amei ha'aretz ki shem Hashem nikra alecha v'yaru mimeka. They will fear you. Tani Rav Elazar Agadol Omer elu tefillin shabarosh. This is a reference to our tefillin shalrosh. And I think that's exactly what the Ramban saying. Right? The Goyim are going to see our tefillin, see the way that we've internalized the message of the tefillin, and that will in turn inspire them. And one ha'ara that I had that I thought was a very beautiful ha'ara. Tell me if it makes sense. Rashi's girsa in the Gemara is Shem Hashem Nikra Alecha Elu Tefillin Shalrosh. But what's the girsa we have in the Gemara? If you look at the office, you'll see it. We have Elu Tefillin Shebarosh. So I was thinking that the Goyim don't really see our tefillin Shalrosh. I don't know the last time a guy, you know, except for when I put on tefillin in the airport. When do a guy ever see our tefillin shalrosh? The pshat in the Gemara is that the guy are supposed to see our tefillin shebarosh. They're supposed to see how we've internalized the tefillin. They're supposed to see how, what does it mean to be a Jew, to carry oneself as a Jew? And that's supposed to inspire them to then go on and see God in their own lives. And be'ezras Hashem, if we can internalize the concept of tefillin, literally to internalize it into our brains, we will be zocha to see the day very soon of Yakiru v'yedu kol yoshei seva, where the entire world will come together. We'll answer our tefillos. V'yasu kulam aguda achas lasos ritzoncha b'lev avshalom. Thank you so much for coming. I appreciate it.